program, okay, it only sees fire, but does not see physical forms of beings. The only way that one can tell that it is a being is through hearing the sounds of wailing or tormented cries coming from the fire, within the fire. When one looks inside the fire, one sees no form, but one can hear sounds, and that is a sign of Vishuddha. So, and such beings are being burned by fires from all directions. Four of the cardinal directions, four of the intermediate, one each above and below, and his own body also burning like fire. So in this case, 11, the 10 directions and his own body all together they make up 11 types of fires. In general, you know, even just one single flame burning us, is something that's totally unbearable, let alone being burned by 11 types of fire from 11 directions. This is what the hell, the greatest suffering, and it's called the hell known as fire.
That can be tried to take from the end of the day on Sabbath. And the ของมันนั่นชื่อว่าชนสารเลยมันมาดึงแล้วดึงคนเลยดึงออกดึงข้าแต่เรื่องสุดโลกของมันนะแต่ดึงชาวบ้านคนนี้ดึงคือหนึ่งวันเป็นของคนนี้นอนก่อนเลยแต่ถ้าแต่เรื่องของมันนั้นจะต้องยังไง
Then there are the kohels whereby the entire realm becomes made of entire realm is made of ice, very cold ice, and so here when in such realms where the cold wind blows, the chill goes from the outside right to the very inside of the bones of the residents, and so the whole body becomes frozen like ice, and not only frozen but intensely frozen to the point of cracking.And when their bodies crack open into many, many hundreds of pieces, then the blood and pus inside comes out. You know, and so generally for us, you know, if we bleed, whenever we bleed, the blood leaves our body, one no longer experiences any sensations because it becomes separated from our consciousness. However, the beings of such realms, you know, when their blood and pus leaves their body, it's due to the force of their karma, even such expelled substances still.Are in possession of their consciousness. So therefore, even when those droplets of blood and pus fall to the ground and freeze, then they continue to experience sufferings on the basis of those droplets of blood and pus freezing out, you know, on the part of their body cracking open, experience further suffering on the freezing of the freezing sensation of their blood and pus freezing out. Yes. So they experience such innumerable sufferings in such realms. Yes.
다들이제연속성지하듯이나는그것을교육생활에다연속성과면도성지하는성과면도성과면도성과면도성과성과성과면도성과면도성과성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과면도성과就是从他这边走的往里面走，这边走没有人马走，反正从他跑的那个，羊群嘛，羊群也有的，他这里怎么打？我们羊群有的这个方面，他从他羊群的第一批从上面，他这才开始走上来的，他这里从来，真的，哪里从来？일단나는그동안간절히합니다내가저런시기를내가내역의시기를감통하고있는근데제그동안일단제그동안제가그달래달래는너를자를이렇게기억하고얼마서폭주연기를중간으로있나근데한동안속도담는다는그런거죠지휘도나내지휘도나도이제그렇게통과하고그요인도나그냥무효가만지겁주자라는경고아니다는어겁나도지사비오나혹동안돌아가는거냐왜냐면딱예비동안제가가래야가래이런거이니까제가분명히하는거였지그럼딱주자라는거냐이렇게잘해난지휘도나지휘도나가但是你摸摸就行根据咱们在民族大部分的人从这样的你说那就不要他说我们这样的人有那么不就有那他听一下他听的有那他能够听到吗那他就这个样子我那他说公司能够这样子那他就有这样的情况
So so up to this point, we talked about the three lower realms. So generally, we talk about the sixth realm of migratory beings, migratory beings. So here, the sixth realm are composed of the three lower realms and the three higher realms and three happy, three realms of happy migrators. So here, there are the realms of the humans, the gods, and the demigods and the asuras. So here.The human realm, the sufferings of the human realms are something that we can see physically for ourselves. the sufferings of birth, of aging, of sickness and death. So, firstly, the suffering of birth, when we were born from infanthood, we actually experienced lots of physical and mental trauma. However, because those at the time of birth, those sufferings were so intense, but however, due to our infancy, we are unable to remember them due to many other memories building up later on. The previous memories of the trauma of childhood was forgotten, or birth, of the trauma of birth was forgotten. And then next, there is the suffering of illness. Such the sufferings of different kinds of illnesses are known by everyone with what being patient at some point in time or nurse at some point in time. And then there's the suffering of aging, a process which happens over years and days. Fortunately for us, it takes time and not. It's not something that comes suddenly, because if we were to age suddenly by leaps and bounds, it's definitely a fact that we're unable to bear for sure. For example, if you wake up, a teenager will wake up overnight and find him or herself suddenly old and unable to move or stand up. This would definitely be a shocking fact that he or she would not be able to withstand. And then next, the suffering of death. At a time of death, one becomes overwhelmed by many, many worries, such as possessions and property that are left behind. One worries about the karma that one has created, karma that has not been purified and not created. One worries about the one's retinue of friends and relatives and family, loved ones that one has to leave behind without choice. One is not yet ready to leave behind. And also one can't even speak to such people. One doesn't even have the energy, have the strength to speak to the ones, such people, unsaid words and so forth, you know. And so such incredible suffering in time of death.
About the day of actual separation, when one is being
actually physically or emotionally separated from one's loved ones. So there's a constant worry in the back of one's mind. So having to endure such suffering. And the third kind of suffering is not having one's desires fulfilled. This is said to be the worst of all sufferings, simply because firstly our desires are never satisfied. We always have no lack of constant desire for things. But even though having such desire, even if you go through the proper means to acquire them, the object of desire, that's not necessarily mean that we will definitely obtain them. And so this is the worst of all sufferings. Because in the process of trying to obtain the object of desire, we go through so much hardship, we endure so much hardship. In the process of enduring such hardship, we accumulate so much negative karma for achieving that goal. And on top of accumulating so much negative karma, we also offend a lot of people. And we end up making so many enemies. Yet, having gone through all such hardship doesn't necessarily entail that we achieve our aims. So therefore, this suffering is said to be the worst. And these are the three types of sufferings that we have to endure.
Huh?
Then there's the suffering of the demigod realm, the Asura realms. The Asuras essentially suffer from this perpetual jealousy towards the wealth and the immense wealth and richness of the gods. They are able to perceive the wealth and richness of the gods. However, they are unable to use them for themselves. So therefore, when these jealousies build up, intensify over time, they amount to a war. You know, they wage war against the gods. And the process of waging war against the gods, and you know, many asuras get killed. And in the process, so the process, the going on of the battlefields, can be seen in a particular lake in Asura realms. So the beings of the family members of the loved ones of those who have gone to war, they gather by the lake and peer into the lake to see the fate of their loved ones. And from there they see their loved ones being attacked, being killed, and so they kind of experience torments of worry and suffering and misery. So at the time when the a particular God realm being is experiencing the signs of dying, the signs of death, then the splendor and so forth deteriorates, and these external signs manifest, then all the other gods just simply desert them, and they do not go near to them, and they, in order to console the dying god, they present him in a flower wreath, you know, a flower garland. However, even that is not, they do not present to that dying god personally, but, you know, so it's seeing the dying god as being like pestilence or plague, avoiding that dying god, but using a very long pole, putting the garland on the very end of it, and then and stretching out the pole and putting the garland on top of that dying god's head, and saying prayers, you know, after your death, may be born in the realm, may be born again in the realm of the happy migrators. And amongst the realms, three realms of the happy migrators may be born in the world of humans. So generally, we, you know, we tend to be envious of the gods' enjoyments. We think that the gods are like, you know, extremely great, something to aspire towards. However, our rebirth of the god is not seen to be so great, because on the basis of rebirth of the god, one is unable to practice the Dharma. And it's on the basis of this human body, precious human body that we have now, can one actually practice the Dharma? So therefore, this is one of the sufferings that one that is found in the Dharma.
Well,
Also, certain beings are born in the formless realm. These beings are constantly engaged, constantly immersed in a state of thoughtlessness. You know, they have no mental processing going on. They've only, throughout the entirety of existence, they have only two thoughts. The very first thought, when they're being born into the realm, the thought that I'm being born. And then after being born into the realm, they immediately enter, due to the force of familiarization and familiarity, they enter straight into the state of similar to being deep slumber, you know, whereby there's no thought process, it's just dullness of mind. And then when that karma is being exhausted, then they come out into the very last thought they have is I'm dying. And then that, so they have only two thoughts in the entirety of their existence. One, being born, I'm born, I'm dying, you know. So I'm born in the beginning, I'm dying in the end. So in between, they're constantly in the state of deep slumber. So so they're being deceived, you know, into believing that this state of deep slumber is something that will remain forever. So when they are in this state of deep slumber, then or you know, dullness of mind, then their positive karma that they have accumulated in the past becomes exhausted. You know, then they take then they fall into lower realms. So this rebirth of such long life thoughts is said to be one of the eight inopportune states of eight unfortunate rebirths. And if one is born in such a realm, one cannot come to Dharma.
The ten non-virtuous actions were created due to a self-cherishing attitude.
the non-virtuous action of killing. When one engages in killing or slaughtering animals for the flesh, and there's absolutely no compassion in one's mind, one slaughters them for the purpose of one's own consumption, or there's even if one doesn't slaughter animals and one commits a homicide, say one murders another person, kills them because of manslaughter, during that time of that act, the focus of one's mind is one's own benefit. You know, there's no consideration at all of the other person's interest. So likewise, the act of stealing, you know, when one engages in stealing, one's mind is entirely filled with the thought of one's own self benefit, one's own welfare. There's no consideration at all for the interest of the owner of that object that one is stealing, from whom one is stealing. So therefore, then likewise for acts of sexual misconduct, acts of lying, you know, deceiving others, acts of divisive speech, and you know, causing separation, you know, among other people, causing conflict, idle gossip, you know, harsh speech, you know, harmful words, abusive words, and so forth. When all these are being done, you know, the only attitude behind, the only soul driving force behind all of this is the self-cherishing mind, the self-centered attitude. There's absolutely no consideration of others from that viewpoint. Yes. Joyful when one sees the happiness of others, one will not covet their happiness, one will Well, I think it's more important for them to have these and be happy. So instead of feeling, you know, jealous or wanting to have the same thing, one would focus upon their happiness rather than on one's lacking, on one's not having these things, you know, one's mind would have received a different view. Then the next is the negative karma of ill will, wishing to harm others, you know. Likewise, this is very obviously rooted in self-cherishing. If one did not have the mind of self-cherishing, if one had a mind that turned the other way, wanting to better cherish others, one would not necessarily one would not want to harm them. So then, the next is the negative karma of wrong views. Once again, under the influence of self-cherishing, we think that, oh, no, there's no karma, there's no path of future lives, and so on and so forth. So, likewise, all these 10 non-virtuous actions are completely rooted in self-cherishing. And due to the force of these negative karmas, one creates the causes for rebirth in the lower realms. So then, when this not only rebirth in the lower realms in future lives, in this very life alone, all the illnesses, all the unpleasant instances, all the undesirable circumstances that fall upon us, or fate that falls upon us, all of these are caused by self-cherishing mind. So then she quotes from this certain verse that says, you know, irregardless of whatever, all the sufferings and harm in this world have their roots in self-cherishing thought, you know, the mind cherishing oneself. All the goodness have come about through the thought desiring to benefit others, the thought that cherishes others. So here, generally, we feel very afraid of demons or spirits or ghosts. Or we hear the word devil or Satan, we get really frightened by that. So, however, we have yet to see that the greatest of all evil, the greatest of all troublemakers, is the self-cherishing thought itself. Because due to the force of this self-cherishing thought, you know, we create so much negative karma, and we create so much causes of suffering. However much world external fears or harms or agents of harm can be found externally, none of those can be compared with the amount of harm and damage that can be done by our own self-cherishing attitude. You know, so therefore, this self-cherishing attitude is the greatest, the self-cherishing mind is the greatest of all demons, and then the greatest of all agents of harm and injury. So therefore, one must see the fault of this self-cherishing mind in all its entirety, and only then will one arise a desire to get rid of such self-cherishing mind. Yes. Self-cherishing mind as being like an enemy, the brain to begrudge and eventually destroy this monstrous demon of self-cherishing, selfishness. So here, one should see this self-cherishing mind as being the source of all of one's suffering, and to blame the self-cherishing mind for all of one's misfortune. And then, and the next is begrudge, you know. So generally, when someone does a little small thing to upset us, then we may end up, you know, having a grudge in our hearts for that person, blaming over and over again, you know, reliving that moment over and over again, being upset towards that person, and then holding a grudge. However, here the real enemy is not this, it's not those people, those who have done those little those things to us, compared to what our self-cherishing has done to us. You know, those are insignificant. The real enemy is within. The real enemy is the self-cherishing thought. All, if we do hold such long grudges towards others for those little things they've done, what more we should hold, what more grudge we should hold towards this demon of the self-cherishing thought, you know, to blame it, to begrudge it, eventually to destroy this thought of self-cherishing. The excellent qualities of the mind that cherishes others, whatever slight happiness or pleasure that we may experience in this life, or at all times, and all of them are due to the qualities of the mind that cherishes others. Because bliss or pleasure or happiness is a ripening result of positive karma. So this positive karma has been created due to the influence of the mind of cherishing others, you know, whereby one abandons the thought of self-interest and places instead an emphasis upon the welfare and the happiness of others while cherishing them. So for example, even the qualities of the Buddha have come about through the mind of cherishing others. And also in our case, for example, if we, we mentioned before about the act of killing being caused by the thought of self-cherishing mind. If we were to turn the tables around, instead of focusing upon our welfare and ignoring others, placing the welfare of others as of the primary importance or the main importance, and then abandoning our self-interest, and then immediately the thought comes to mind that, you know, we should not kill, because we immediately feel compassion towards the suffering of that particular animal that we are about to kill. But due to this force of compassion, and then suddenly the emphasis becomes on the is due to the emphasis being placed on the welfare of that animal, rather than the welfare of ourselves, you know, our own interests. So then, due to the force of that compassion, that if we were to take the vow of abandoning killing, then that act itself becomes a virtuous action. When there's a virtuous action, then one has a ripening result of happiness. You know, so therefore, all the 10 virtuous actions are created due to the mind of self of cherishing others, you know, placing others in front of oneself, more important than oneself. All the rebirths in the higher realms, all the states of realization and achievement of the realized beings, you know, or even the slightest experience or sensations of bliss and happiness have come about due to the kindness or due to the excellent qualities of the mind of cherishing others. Yes.
The kindness of these sentient
frequent. For example, the first perfection is that of generosity. If there is one to practice generosity, that needs to be one needs the presence. The presence of certain beings have to be there in order to for one to engage in the practice of generosity. And likewise, the practice of ethics. When one engages in the cultivation of ethics, one intentionally abandons harm towards others. You know, so therefore, once again, one needs the presence of others. One needs to cherish them in the first place, and then to only then does one take upon the practice of ethics, abandoning harm to others, and thereby perfecting that, completing that perfection, training that perfection. Then there is a perfection of patience, whereby one trains in forbearance towards the harm that others may inflict upon us. So if one does not have the mind of cherishing others in the first place, one will not forbear them. And even if others harm us, even though they may harm us, however, one will be, instead of seeing, bearing grudge towards them, one instead reflect upon their kindness, due to the thought of cherishing others. One reflect on one's kindness because it helped us complete our training in patience. And one also see our greatest enemies, greatest external adversaries as being, adversaries as being like our greatest, virtuous friends, the best of virtuous friends, because they help us train in patience, help us complete our training in patience. So therefore, from here one can see that even the attainment of the Buddha's infinite qualities is due to the kindness, due to the excellent qualities of the mind that cherishes others.
Mm-hmm. 이제까지 젠진대공, 젠진대공인데, 너와 동료 동료 자고만 오고 준비인가 너, 젠진대에 대다, 자고만다지, 소리죠, 너한테 소리죠, 대다 집안지 이거죠, 젠진대 야구리 공만인가 너 때문에.
So in the group we just text also there's a, this particular verse that says. The mind that wishes, that cherishes mother of sentient beings and wishes to place them in a state of bliss, is this very source of the infinite, the very door. It's a very door opening to the treasury or opening to infinite stored vast amounts of qualities, inconceivable qualities. Therefore, please bless me in order to be able to. Cherish all mother beings, even should they rise up as our enemies and harm us. You know, so therefore, this is one of the verses relating to the training of the mind of self of cherishing others. Even because by seeing the positive qualities or the infinite positive qualities that can arise from such a very mind of cherishing others and wishing to place them in a state of bliss, such a mind that cherishes others by seeing such infinite qualities in it. The preciousness of it, one prays to be able to train intensively in such thought, even though others may harm us.
Yes.
So, sorry, the verse, the last line of the verse was that to cherish these sentient beings more than our lives. So, praying to be able to engage in this practice of mind training, and cherishing others such intense dedication. So here, up to this point tonight, this talk has been focusing upon using logic to prove, or using logic to prove the faults of the self-cherishing mind, and also using logical ways to show us the benefits of the mind that cherishes others. Tonight we will stop here, and tomorrow night we will continue further on this subject of exchanging self and others. So the talk tonight, the contents that are being taught tonight will become actually a foundation for the teachings of tomorrow night.
Da 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 da
15章の15章。